So I encourage you to bring it along with you because it is in this book that there are words of life. And that's why I'd like for you to turn in God's Word to Hebrews tonight, chapter 13. And looking at these verses that we left off with last Monday night, there are three key words that I'd like to share with you. And I must say honestly tonight that our time tonight is a bit of a concluding word. I'm having a difficult time concluding our series, but I need to do that. And so tonight is a bit of a concluding word, but there's so much that just begs to be shared. And so maybe in another time, in another series, or in other avenues, God will continue to grow us in our understanding of, appreciation of, and application of true worship. But tonight is for those of you, to be honest, who are saying, I want to be one of the true worshipers. You responded last night, I want to live a life that brings glory to God. You know that worship is more than an activity, but worship is a lifestyle. And you're saying, I want to be one of the worshipers. Well, as we come down to conclude tonight, I want to give you a challenge and give you some hands-on steps to becoming a better worshiper, one who worships in spirit and truth. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for meeting us in our worship tonight. How incredible You are. Thank You for giving us the privilege through Jesus Christ of saying, I love You, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship You. Father, Your words are life. You spoke to us and said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so I pray that You would open up the truth of Your Word before us with great power and connect it to our lives tonight. I yield to You to that end. And thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're talking about living a life of praise. In Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, read along with me if you will. Through Him then, and the Him refers to who? To Jesus. You can find that in the text right above. Through Jesus then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. Let me read that phrase again. It sort of gets lost in here. Listen carefully. And do not neglect doing good. Can I just paraphrase there? Doing the right thing. And with sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now a question that I ask you tonight, and maybe you can just hear this personally and respond in your heart to this question. Is worship for you an activity that you participate in? Or is worship for you a lifestyle? Just think about it. Is worship for you an activity that you participate in? And maybe you participate in it several times a week. You're in church worship on Sunday. Maybe you're at a Bible study like this another night. And you're involved in different places where worship happens. Is worship some kind of an activity for you that you participate in? Or is worship a way of life for you? Is it a lifestyle? Because what God is looking for are men and women who will live their lives in such a way that they are a continual magnification of His name, giving Him glory in this world. Let me say that again. What God is looking for are men and women who will live their whole life in such a way. Do you know that the watching world has no idea what we're doing in here tonight? The non-believing world is not aware that we're all in this place worshiping the living God together. Maybe they'd care, maybe they wouldn't care if they knew, but they don't know. They haven't seen our activity. They haven't seen our demonstrated worship. They haven't heard the confession of our mouths. And so God is looking for men and women who will live their whole life in such a way that it constantly magnifies His name and brings glory to Him. So that wherever you are and wherever I am through the course of life, people will be seeing the character and the person of God reflected in the way that we live. If that makes sense, could you nod your head for me tonight? Living a life of praise. Living a life that brings glory to God. That's really what this passage is all about. It says a little bit later here that God's asking not only for the confession of our mouths or a verbal expression, but He's asking for demonstrated acts. And when the verbal expression of praise is combined with demonstrated acts of praise, then we live a life of praise. And that's what He's looking for in you. That's what He's looking for in me. There are three words in this passage that sort of make me stop and take a double take. They make me stand back a bit and go, whoa. And I want to point them out to you tonight, and we'll talk about each one of them briefly. In verse 15, all three are found, and they sort of set up the passage. It says, through Jesus then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Now the words that sort of jump out to me are these words, continually sacrifice praise. So the challenge, if you distilled it here, that God is putting before us through the writer of the book of Hebrews is continually sacrifice praise to God. Continually sacrifice praise to God. All the time, give praise to God. Continually sacrifice praise. Why don't you say those three words with me? Continually sacrifice praise. Now this first word troubles me a little bit. We alluded to it last week, but continually is a pretty major word. It's a very encompassing word, is it not? It's a little bit broad. Continually doesn't say, oh, by the way, when you're gathered together for worship, offer a sacrifice of praise. Continually doesn't say, oh, when your day is just as great as it can be and you couldn't be happier, offer a sacrifice of praise. Continually says to us, day by day, morning and evening, in the good times and the bad times, when everything's going great, when everything seems to be going miserably, in all of the events of our lives, in all of the affairs of our lives, continually, continually, continually be worshiping God or be worshiping the Father, be reflecting His character and giving glory to Him. The psalmist said over in Psalm 34, verse 1, look at it if you would. It's a potent expression. I wish that David were here himself to say it to us. I wonder if you could say it tonight. I wonder if I could say it tonight. Well, let me just be more honest with you. I can't say it tonight. I'd love to be able to. I pray that God's mercy will keep working in me until I am able to. But I couldn't say what David said. But I want to be able to say that. Look at his powerful declaration in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What a statement is that? Now, is this guy cracked? Has he lost it? Is he living on a different planet? Has he read something that you and I haven't found? What kind of statement is that? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And His praise is going to continually be in my mouth. Men and women, God is looking for those who have become so connected to Him that continually their lives would give praise and honor to Him. David said last week in Psalm 16:8, the verse we read, he said, I've set the Lord continually before me. I've set the Lord continually before me. The second key word here is the word sacrifice. Continually sacrifice praise. Now the word sacrifice here, we found it in our very first night, in our very first statement. Remember the puzzle of life. We talked about a whole life lived unto God, and we read the verse Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living what? Sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Hear this statement tonight, men and women. If you and I are going to become worshipers, we're going to have to learn how to sacrifice. All worship involves sacrifice. All worship involves sacrifice. Can you say that with me? All worship involves sacrifice. And when you and I are moving through life, now I'm not talking, and I haven't focused a lot on Mr. and Mrs. My Life is Wonderful over here. Someone said last week, well, I'm not going through any real trials, and I haven't been in prison like Paul and Silas were, and my life seems to be going pretty good, so, you know, I'm doing all right. And I say, well, great, Mr. and Mrs. My Life is Wonderful and Happy, just be at peace tonight. And give worship to God. But if you should ever run into trouble, Mr. and Mrs. My Life is Wonderful, if you should ever run into some sort of opposition or difficulty or frustration or confusion or trial or enemy in your life and you begin to feel pressed in your life, it is in that moment that the continually word starts getting weird. I'll bless the Lord at all times. I guess that would mean this time. And His praise is supposed to continually be in my mouth. My mouth's full of a lot of stuff right now, but it's not His praise. And if praise is going to happen right here, Mr. and Mrs., my life is wonderful. God bless you. But if praise is going to happen right here, and can I say it again from last week? This is the kind of praise, not to belittle that praise, but this is the praise like a megaphone that just magnifies and amplifies the greatness of God. It's this kind of continual praise. It is heard the loudest. And if it's going to happen here, it's going to be because sacrifice takes place right here. Well, what am I going to sacrifice? I'm going to sacrifice my will. I'm going to just kill it. I'm going to kill my will. Put it right on the altar. I'm going to sacrifice my expectations. Because when Mr. and Mrs. My Life's Wonderful becomes Mr. and Mrs. I'm really not happy with the way things are going, typically our expectations come dashing down. And have you ever found yourself, maybe not, but I found myself occasionally saying, God, I really wasn't thinking we were going to do it this way. Or saying to a friend, you let me down. Or saying to a circumstance, you didn't come through. Or saying to some situation, that's not the way I always hoped it would be. And for praise to come forth there means I've got to sacrifice my expectations. I might have to sacrifice my own personal needs. Sacrifice my comfort. Sacrifice my control over life. It's great to give worship when I've got my hands firmly, one on the wheel and one on the shifter. And I'm saying, God, You're a great God and I'm doing a good job of driving my life. And all of a sudden, you're not in control anymore. And God says, can you praise me now? Only if you sacrifice your control. You see, if you can't continually praise God, it just means that something other than God has landed on the throne of your heart. And until you sacrifice whatever it is, praise won't happen. And the third word is the word praise. Continually sacrifice praise. And there are two kinds of praise here. Look in verse 15 and 16 if you would. Two kinds of praise He talks about. He talks about one in verse 15, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And He talks about in 16, doing good and sharing with others. So He says, continually, all the time, sacrifice praise. And what kind of praise? The fruit of lips that give thanks to His name and a kind of lifestyle that shows who He is. The kind of fruit that says, God is awesome, God is wonderful, God is in control, God will come through, God is faithful, God is sustainer, God is wise. And then a lifestyle that backs it up and a living out of who He is that shows people by our actions who God is. Now, we need to get something quickly before we move to our illustration tonight of these three words. And it is that when it says in verse 15, and look at that with your eyes if you would, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Now, can I ask you a question tonight? What is His name? What's His name? Anybody? What is His name? You can participate here. It's okay. I don't offer royalties if you do get on tape, but you can participate here. What is His name? Excuse me? Abba. What is His name? Jesus, Father, Emmanuel, what? Truth, Wonderful Counselor, what?
I am.
Thank you, even from the second section. Bless you, extra credit. You guys back here with us, hello? What is His name? Prince of Peace, Redeemer, what? Father, Provider, what's His name? Jehovah, what's His name? God, Yahweh, what's His name? Messiah, what's His name? Truth, what? Strong Tower, what is His name? Assurance, what's His name? You guys, we're not petering out. Oh boy, that's a great name, God. We're sort of wound down on you there after about 15 seconds worth. I know that in your heart you're thinking what His name is. If you have something on your mind, why don't you just say out loud what His name is, what you think it is, since you didn't get to say it that time. Just say it all together, whatever's on your heart if you have one. His name is what? His name is? See, that's His name. His name, listen, equals all of who He is. When it says give thanks to His name, wherever the Scripture says and praise His holy name, give thanks to the Lord and bless His name, what is it saying? It's saying His name equals all of who He is. So when we bless His name, we bless all of who He is. When His name is a strong tower, all of who He is a strong tower. When we give thanks to His name, we give thanks to all of who He is. And so when it says, through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that give thanks to all of who God is. That we're always talking about who He is. If you don't get that little key there tonight, you'll miss the whole deal. His name equals all of who He is. Say that with me. His name equals all of who He is. Say it kind of out of your heart. His name equals all of who He is. And so when you and I are able in trials, in the good times, Mr. and Mrs., my life is wonderful, or Mr. and Mrs. over here, my life's not going so well, in both situations, they need to get a hold of all of who He is. And that's when God brings life and peace and joy and worship takes place in us. A quick illustration, and we'll give some hints tonight and close. And the illustration is a person that you know well. He's found in 2 Chronicles 20. And I'm just going to touch down on him very, very quickly tonight. Because he so personifies this. He's a hero to me as one who's living a life of praise. Centuries, thousands of years before Hebrews 13, 15, and 16, this guy, king over Judah, he had a handle on the whole picture. And we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 20. I'll give you a second to get there. Can I give you the brief history? Is that okay? The brief history. Judah, God's people, His nation is being attacked. Judah is going to be attacked by not one army, not two armies, but three armies. They're going to come against Judah. And the king of Judah has a choice to make. Because Mr. My Life is Wonderful, Jehoshaphat over here, all of a sudden becomes Mr. My Life's Not So Wonderful, because this text tells us a spokesman came in to report to him some gloomy news. Here's the news in verse 1. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Edomites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And then someone came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram. And behold, they are in Hazon Tamar, which is called En-Gedi. Now that's a lot of big words to get the gist of this, that the sons of Moab and these other armies are coming, and they're coming against you, Jehoshaphat. Good report, right? I don't know what was happening in his life before he heard that report, but I have a feeling that when he heard that report, the first thing that didn't go through his mind was, oh, well, I just want to bless the Lord at all times. Or maybe was that the first thought that ran through his mind? It says in verse 3, I love this, and Jehoshaphat was afraid. Okay, so he wasn't the bionic Christian. Okay, so he didn't have an uplink to heaven. Okay, so he wasn't really from another planet. He was like you and me. And when they said, there are three armies bearing down, he said, oh, that's not good. And he was even afraid. Oh, real Christians aren't afraid. Well, you want to tell that to Jehoshaphat? Because he's a hoss. He is. spiritually speaking. But he was afraid. But what he didn't do was begin, listen carefully, to worship fear. He didn't say, I'm afraid and I'm going to continually offer up a sacrifice to fear. Oh, I'm afraid. I don't know what we're going to do. I think we're all going to die. I don't know what's going to happen to these people, but I'm getting my fastest chariot and I'm booking it out of here. Man, I'm clearing out. I'm taking the stuff out of the treasury and I'm long gone. Send the armies that way, stall them so I can get farther away. I'm out of here. Me and my family, I don't care what happens to the rest of you. Man, we're going down. This place is going to be smoked. And we begin to offer a sacrifice to the God of fear. And he said, I will not worship fear. He was afraid, but he didn't worship fear. And you can be confused and not worship the God of confusion. You can be broken and not worship the God of brokenness. You can be empty and not worship the God of emptiness. You can be in pain and not worship the God of pain. He said he was afraid in verse 3. I'm sorry, I'm preaching a little bit. If you'll just bear with me. He says in verse 3, he was afraid and, look, he turned his attention to seek the Lord. Yeah, he was afraid. He was like you and me. He shook in his boots when he heard the chariots coming. But even though he heard them coming and he was afraid, he said, I will not worship the God of fear. And the scripture literally says he set his face toward God. Boom. I've set the Lord, David said, continually before me because he's at my right hand. I won't be shaken. Verse 4, so Judah, the whole nation, gathered together to seek help from the Lord. And they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, got the armies bearing down. You can hear the approaching hoofbeats. And here's Jehoshaphat with the whole assembly of Judah. The whole nation come together. Families, kids, dogs, cats, the whole kit and caboodle have gathered in Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat stands in the midst of them and he spoke these words. O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not the ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to your descendants who are your friends forever? And then he goes all the way down and he just begins to tell of the work and the power of God in verse 12. And he says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But what? Read it with me. Our what? Our eyes are on you. What an incredible thought. Do you know what they did after he stopped talking? Who can think of what they might have done after he stopped talking? Any clues? Suggestions? Comments? A couple of you reading ahead. Let's find out. What do you think, without reading, would have happened when the whole nation of Judah put their eyes on God and set Him right in their focus continually before Him? What do you think would have happened there in that assembly? Anybody? Get the front row. Anybody in the back section? What do you think would have happened there? What typically happens when we put God right in view? Worship happens when God is in view. And with the nations breathing down their throats, they had a worship service in Jerusalem. I love that. Don't you know that the messenger for that army was a little bit perturbed when he came back to his great king and he said, well, what's happening over there? Have they heard we're coming? Do they know there are three armies coming? Give me the report. What's the inside intelligence? What does the CIA have to say? Are they preparing? Are they fortifying their cities? Have they called in reinforcements? Have they put up the white flag? Have they just thrown themselves down in despair and given up? And the reporter comes back and says, well, they're actually, they're like having a celebration. And they're singing songs of praise to God and worshiping Him in Jerusalem. Wow. I don't know my music history really well. I don't have any kind of education thoroughly in music history, but maybe they were singing, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in, and they are safe. The name of the Lord is..." I wonder how that echoed back to Moab. "A strong tower." What kind of strong towers? They build strong towers? "The righteous run in, and they're safe." Worship started happening. There are two lessons that Jehoshaphat wants to teach you tonight. The first lesson he wants to teach you is this. And if there's anything out of this passage, and there's a beautiful ending to it, you can read it later in the week. Please don't read it tonight while we're all here. But there's a couple of key things that he's just reaching over into our 1993 world, and he's saying, if you're going to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, then he must be in view. He must be in view. If you're going to continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, He must be in view. First thing, second lesson Jehoshaphat's trying to teach is this. You're going to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to something. And when you're standing in trouble, you're going to worship something. You're going to worship fear. You're going to worship doubt. You're going to worship your expectations. You're going to worship the enemy. But you're going to give a confession of your lips to something. Just listen to yourself next time you're in trouble. Oh, murmur, 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 murmur. Oh, complain, complain, complain. Oh, gripe, gripe, gripe. Oh, doubt, doubt, doubt. And we're just offering a sacrifice of praise. Just the wrong kind of praise to the wrong enemy. If you're going to continually worship Him, He's got to be in view, but you're going to continually make some confession. And the third thing, the key thing He's trying to teach, and let me show you this really quickly. I'm not going away, trust me, I'll just be back here. But the key thing He's trying to teach us is this, that the name of God, and the name of God equals help me. Thank you. Say that a little more encouragingly because I can't see you. I can only hear you. The name of the Lord equals all of who He is. And I want to tell you this, men and women, the name of the Lord, there's some facet of His name and some facet of His character that is appropriate in every situation that you are in. Check it out. The name of the Lord. Just look at the name of the Lord. I know it's kind of small for you folks in the back. But He's glorious, He's God, He's good, He's great, He's a friend. He's the foundation, the fortress, forgiving, Father, faithful, exalted, everlasting, eternal, established, enthroned, Emmanuel. He's the dwelling place, He's a deliverer, He's a defender. And when you face any kind of a trial, any opposition, the only way that you're going to bless the Lord at all times and His praise is going to continually be in your mouth is if you find an aspect of His character or His name that is appropriate to help you at your point of need. And in that moment you say, God, there's the enemy, and I am afraid, but I'm going to look to You. Maybe the situation is that you didn't get what you thought you should get. And you were perplexed and frustrated and angry, and you wanted to take out your own vengeance, but instead you put your eyes on the Lord, and you found it said that He is the judge. And you said, God, I praise You today, because You are the great judge. And You are just, and You will bring justice, if not today, someday. I depend on You. I worship You. I yield my life to You. And someone says, well, aren't you angry? Aren't you going to get even? Aren't you going to take action? Aren't you going to sue them? Aren't you going to jump down their throat? Aren't you going to come with all your chariots and your horses? No, I want to praise God because He's trustworthy. He is the judge, and my hope is in Him. And that very action brings encouragement to God and glory to His name. Look at the name of God. That's what the strong tower is, men and women. That's what the strong tower is all about. So we'll close with these keys. For those of you who are thirsty and you're hungry and you're saying, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. For those of you who don't want any more, you can rest for a moment. We're fixing to leave. For those of you who want more, hear these words. Steps to becoming one who lives a life of praise. One, there are three of them. One, develop a time of personal praise. I know that sounds pretty stupid and basic, but we always have heard about a prayer life. How's your prayer life? Well, I like to ask, well, how's your praise life? Are you developing a personal time of praise? Now, I know you get it in here, or you get it in your church worship, or you get it at some other setting where you're into worship, but where is in your schedule your personal time of praise where you just say to everybody else, no, I want to be alone before God, and I want to worship Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 164, seven times a day I'll praise you. Daniel in Daniel 6:10 said three times a day he came and knelt down to pray and to give praise to God. Developing a time of praise in your life. And what is the goal of that time? The goal of that praise time is to become familiar with the name of God. And the name of God equals all of who He is. So in that praise time, I want to become familiar with the name of God, with the vast character of God and with His expansive name. Therefore, when I go from being Mr. and Mrs., everything's wonderful, to Mr. and Mrs., my life's not so wonderful, and I'm thinking about maybe worshiping something other than God, I put Him in view, and I have all this menu of the names of God to choose from. And I guarantee you, as Jehoshaphat found, one would be appropriate. So in the midst of the assembly, he said, "Oh God, are You not the King of the nations? And isn't power in Your hand?" He said, "You're the powerful one." So I'm going to move the circumstances back. And I'm going to look at the circumstances through the powerful character of God. And therefore I can worship. I'll give you a challenge tonight, and I don't do this often, but how many of you would take this oath tonight to make a commitment for 30 days to have a personal time of praise in which you would do two things? You would read the Psalms every day for 30 days, five Psalms a day. You can abbreviate 119 if you want to on the day that you get it, and maybe spread it out over the next few weeks, because that might throw you for a loop on that particular morning. But you set as your course, I'm going to read the Psalms every day, five Psalms a day for 30 days. I've read the entire book of Psalms. And as I'm reading, what am I doing? I'm wanting to become acquainted with and familiar with the names of God. So first, that you'd read the Psalms every day. Secondly, you would keep a praise journal for that 30 days. A praise journal, what does that look like? Do I have one for sale? No. Can you get one in a bookstore? I doubt it. Maybe some version of one. All you need is a blank piece of paper. You can have a notebook, spiral notebook, one of those little books in the bookstore that's bound. Works really, really well, because I have a feeling you want to go more than 30 days and it'll be a nice thing to have rolling. But for 30 days you say, I want to develop a time of praise. And in that time, if nothing else, I'd like to listen to some music. I'd like to sing to God. I want to give praise to God in that time. You might take a praise walk on the campus, a praise drive in your car. You may just get quiet in your room when you have a few moments and give thanks to Him and sing to Him. But reading the five Psalms, and then secondly, opening that praise journal and every day focusing on one aspect of His name that you see in those Psalms. Oh, you'll be amazed at what you see in there. And maybe fortress will just jump out at you. Boom, fortress. And at the top of that page, write fortress. And then just begin to write and reflect to God what it means to you that He's a fortress and a deliverer. The next day, He might reveal to you that He's just, or that He's powerful, or that He's close to you. He's a friend. And you begin to write that out. That was the most revolutionary single thing in my development of praise and worship, was beginning to keep a praise journal. And I didn't even know there was such a thing, but what an experience it was. Secondly, constantly replace your thoughts with praise. I'll bless the Lord at all times, His praise will continually be in my mouth. How does that work when I'm over in English Lit and the professor asks me my interpretation of a given passage? Oh, magnify the Lord in His sanctuary. Isn't He a great God over all the earth? Thank you very much. You see, there are times on earth that we have to deal with reality on an earthly level. And here's my suggestion. Whenever you're not dealing with reality on an earthly level, let your thoughts be replaced with the person of God. I like to say it this way. Let His name and character be home base for you. And so as soon as you're not forced to think about something else or deal with something else, let your thoughts go back to home base. Do well in your studies. Talk to your friends when you see them. Answer the phone and talk to your mom and dad. Tell them that you love them. But when you're not forced, when you're driving down the road, yes, be conscious of where you're going. But when your thoughts have a moment to rest, let them rest back on Him and think about His name. And then thirdly, look for ways to make your actions a reflection of His name and character. Look for ways to make your actions a reflection of His name. And if His name is holy, look for ways to be holy. If His name is merciful, look for ways to be merciful. If His name is truth, look for ways to be true and honest. Three things. Develop a praise time in which you commit to for 30 days. Read 5 Psalms and start a prayer journal, praise journal. And that journal may have a lot of other stuff in it. If you're already journaling, make this section praise only. Focusing on who He is. Don't ask Him for anything. Don't do an in-depth Bible study. Don't make all these great scriptural insights. Just give praise to God and write out your praise and worship to Him. Living a life of praise. Continually sacrifice praise to God. Father, tonight we're grateful for this privilege that we have. We're really grateful for it. We thank You for it in Jesus' name.